The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley. I am sitting in for, I almost said Alex, but Alex is actually with me today, so yes. I guess that means I'm in for Bert, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm here. And before we go too much farther, I want to say something to everybody listening. Now, folks, join in across America and join me in wishing a happy birthday to Jim Stanley.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very kind. I appreciate that.
And let the record show, I'm glad the Lord created you.
Well, brother,
happy birthday.
I guess you and my wife make two.
And millions of others. Well, happy birthday. Are you going to do something special, brother?
My mother-in-law is actually going to cook a really good dinner. It's one of my favorite meals that she does. And because of that, it's only been selected for once a year now. And that's unfortunate, but it's Rotel chicken. And so we're going to do that on Sunday. And by the way, some other staff members here, Derek Hayden, Billy Davis, and Regina Oxner all share the same birthday today. And it seems like I'm leaving someone out, but no, I think that's it, just the four of us. And so, we got donuts and everything this morning, man.
Well, did they sing happy birthday at staff devotions?
They did, as a matter of fact. It was rather interesting. I mean, for a moment there, it was, and no offense to the charismatics, but you'll understand what I'm saying. When everybody was trying to say Derek, Jim, Regina, and Billy, it sounded a moment as though there was a charismatic revival going on.
Amen. Was it a mighty rushing wind?
Well,
no. Kind of like that.
No, we didn't have to blow any candles out or anything. I'm not sure the building would have withstood that much heat. anyway, hey, thanks. Seriously, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Well, amen.
We are in Romans 8 today. Indeed. And one of the things I said yesterday, the best thing about Romans 7 is that it rolled into Romans 8. And in all honesty, this is one of those times, folks, you understand that when we study and we go from chapter to chapter, that this was originally a letter that was written to the Romans, and it was not until much, much later that the chapter and verses actually came into effect. So, Alex, when I say this is a continuation of chapter 7, it actually is, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And you know, it's amazing how the Lord inspired His Word and preserved His Word, and though you're right, this was written to Christians in Rome, it's applicable for people of all generations.
That's
true.
It's
relevant for all of us. And let me read a little bit of Romans 8, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, the NLT. You know, I first heard of the NLT probably 10 years ago through Josh McDowell, and Josh was very enthused that Tyndale Publishers had done this. And Tyndale came out with this Life Application Study Bible, the third edition. It is just wonderful. And Bert and I have been so blessed. They gave one to Bert. They gave one to me. And, you know, by God's grace, I know a little bit about Tyndale Publishers because I've written things for them for about the last 15 years. And so I'm reading from this Life Application Study Bible that is, we're very impressed with it. And you might want to get one. It's really good, folks. But verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have." And folks, we call that the incarnation. Mm-hmm. That God took on a human body and could be our Savior. That's Jesus. "And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be satisfied fully for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit." Jim, in those four verses, there's a whole library of Christian truth just in those first four verses, isn't it?
Sure is. You know, Romans is one of those books that we could take and study basically a couple of verses a day and not run out of stuff to say. And I know that sounds, you know, maybe over the top, but it's really not, because Romans is so full of such good stuff. In fact, when you look at the first verse, the first verse there, there it's basically a not guilty verdict. And as the text says here, and as the study notes say, basically it's saying that not guilty. Let this person go free. And so the only reason we can do that is because of the love of Christ and the sacrifice that he did for us. You know, Alex, Romans 8:1 there is everybody wants to quote 8:1. Mostly they want to quote the first part of 8:1.
Yeah.
That there is, and folks, we are using the New Living Testament, but like Alex, I grew up preaching this from the King James Bible. And I want to remind folks, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the King James Bible. We respect it a lot. It's a great translation. And the New Living Translation is a really good translation as well. And so, you know, sometimes when we think of the richness of the King James Bible, where it says there is therefore now no condemnation, everybody likes that part. Everybody wants to hang their hat on that part. But the no condemnation is conditional. And what's that condition, Alex?
Well, it's being in Christ, but it's also saying who walk not after the flesh, but mm-hmm. after the Spirit. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And so let me say, different preachers have said it different ways, but Jesus came to save us from sin, but he didn't really come to save us in sin. And folks, there has to be repentance. Now, mm-hmm. this is not works. Sometimes people say, well, are you going to add works to grace? No. But if there is not conviction over sin and repentance of sin, if there's not an appreciable change of life, I mean, you've got to wonder, has a change really occurred? And Jim, I think that's why Paul would later write, examine yourselves and see if ye be in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing. If you get married to somebody, you know it. I mean, what if you ask somebody, hey, are you married? Do you have a spouse? Nobody would say, well, you know, I'm not sure. Hope so. Hope I'm married. But no. I mean, if you're married, you know it. All right. Well, Romans 7 talked about being espoused to Jesus or wedded to Christ. And if you've taken Jesus as your Savior, if the old has passed away, if you're walking in the newness of life, as Paul says, you're going to know it. I mean, there's a change because you turn from something to something else. And Jim, I'm just going to say it, politically incorrect as it might be, but we live in a time where a lot of people would like to declassify things that the Bible clearly calls sinful.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a medical doctor is duty-bound to tell his patient the truth. If that patient has a life-threatening illness, that doctor has to be straight and say, look, you need this amount of medicine to save your life. We in the church, we are duty-bound. We have a fiduciary responsibility to tell a lost world the truth. And Jesus will save you from any sin.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to let you carry into heaven with you any sin either. We have to repent.
You know, that's a great analogy of the doctor because, Alex, we've seen it. You know, we know of people that have done it. The doctor comes up and gives a clear diagnosis and says, this is what you have to do. And then we leave the office and let me back up. Let me speak for myself here. The first time my doctor went at the very beginning when I was diagnosed with diabetes and she told me I had to give up M&Ms. My wife had not gone in the office with me. And so I came out and my wife said, well, what'd the doctor say? I said, she said I was going to die. You know? But it's one of those things that, and I use that as an example because my doctors have continued to try and get me to do better with my diet and whatnot. But that really is one of those things that it becomes up to us. We can only tell the people what Christ did. We can only lead them to Christ and to the gospel and let the Holy Spirit bring them to repentance. But just like you said, the church has a fiduciary responsibility for that. At the point we've carried out our responsibility, then I think the question here is, surely a loving God would not send anyone to hell. And I would agree with that. He won't. Why? Because we send ourselves. Because mm-hmm. we reject. Just like we might reject the doctor's advice, and I've been known to have an M&M or two in the last 20 years. You know,
yeah.
Devin's looking at me like, me too. And so it's one of those things, just like we may disobey the doctor's orders, it's one of those things that if we disobey Christ, then it comes at an eternal peril, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. You know, verse 7 of Romans 8 says that the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and never will, your sin nature. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Romans 8:8. I mean, think about that, folks. If we're dominated by sin, that's not pleasing to God. Never could be. Verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So the good news is, and let me just say this, folks, if you've trusted Christ, and you've become a Christian, and you're concerned about temptation, I think about this or that. Listen, it's in a way, it's normal to have the flesh struggling against the Spirit. But as believers in Christ, we are to follow the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I really think with God's help as a Christian, we have to establish new patterns of behavior, new patterns of thought, and what might be a struggle in the early days of your Christian walk will become more and more natural as the Spirit of God grows within you and dominates you, and you are more feeding the Spirit than the flesh. But Jim, in a way, think about this. Even when we're tempted and we struggle
mm-hmm.
and we have self-condemnation sometimes because we feel like we're not measuring up or whatever, in a way that's a good sign because, listen, I remember before I got saved, I had bad language. And I'm ashamed to tell you. I mean, I cursed. There were times I took the Lord's name in vain, and I'm very sorry for that. After I got saved, I still said some bad words sometimes. It took a while for my vocabulary to get fully regenerated by the Holy Spirit, shall we say. But here's the difference. One thing I knew, something had changed. For the first time, I felt bad about it. I had a conscience now. And in a way, my point being, folks, if you're struggling, that's a good sign because, look, the world, the flesh, the devil, they're not going to make you feel conviction over sin. So if you're feeling conviction about sin and you're struggling and you want to please God, that's good because that's the Holy Spirit operative in you.
You know, Alex, what you said there about that and the Holy Spirit, there are all kinds of great study notes in this Bible, and that's one there that it's one of the ways, we question sometimes whether we're saved or not. And 8:9 simply points out that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and that gives us a confidence and a peace that we're His. Stay tuned. More Exploring the Word straight ahead on AFR.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Macon Delrahim, Assistant Attorney General at the Department of Justice. He oversees the agency that enforces our country's antitrust laws. Romans 13:10 reminds us of the importance of obeying the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Macon Delrahim as he works to enforce the laws of the United States. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
When people start thinking there's only one way to escape their problems and pain, Dr. Tony Evans says there's something they need even more than hope. He'll tell us what it is as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Suicide is not an option when you understand grace. Throwing in the towel and abandoning life is not an option when you understand grace, because the message of grace in the book of Hebrews is don't you dare give up. The book of Hebrews was written to tired people. Some of them had their property confiscated. Some of them had been put in jail, and they were tired. And he has one simple message: never give up. I don't care what it is or how long it's been there. When you understand grace, you never give up. What grace wants to give you is rest. Rest does not mean nothing is wrong. It's like a glass of iced tea on a hot summer day. The iced tea doesn't stop the sun from bursting forth with its heat, but it just changes how you feel in the middle of a hot day. Rest is that sense of well-being, of calm, even in the midst of crisis. Rest means whatever is wrong no longer has the final say-so about your well-being.
Learn more about how to experience that rest and refreshment for yourself. Check out Tony's CD series, The Magnificent Grace of God, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Grace to you, grace to you, His invitation to the broken. Grace to you, grace to you, the doors of faith are thrown wide open. And
verse 10 of Romans 8 says, "And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God." Oh, that's really great. That's such an exciting thing. And welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Jim Stanley. We are in Romans chapter 8, and there's just so much rich content here. No condemnation to those who are in Christ, and we're going to have life, life by the Spirit, because we've been made right with God. Verse 11, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." Jim, the resurrection of Christ is really a picture of the resurrection that all believers will take part in one day, isn't it?
It sure is, and even for those who are here when Christ returns, we'll be transfigured just as He was, and we'll be made into, you know, we'll receive our new bodies, and so there will be resurrection. And of course, the main thing is that we are resurrected by the Spirit, where we have already passed from spiritual death into spiritual life, and I think the new body is just simply the physical representation of that.
Yes. You know, verse 12 is very interesting. "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." Now, that is profound.
You know, Alex, I'm sorry. I was going to get you to repeat that part. You mean, I am not obligated to sin?
Not at all. Do you remember yesterday there was the phrase that previous to Jesus, we were sold into sin. Mm-hmm. And the word picture there was like a slave in the slave market, and we were owned by something else. But look at this, Romans 8, verse 12. "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." And it's almost like this, folks, when your sin nature or the kind of Achilles heel where Satan tries to tempt you, you can literally say within yourself, "Hey, look, you have no claim on me. I don't belong to you anymore. I'm set free."
Mm.
Set free. And we do, with Christ's help, we have the ability and the authority to follow the leading of the Lord. Now, I don't want to get us off track here because there's so much in Romans 8, but listen, do you know the words for power occur more than 200 times in the New Testament? It's very interesting. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, part of the Great Commission, Jesus is going back to heaven and he says, make disciples of every nation. But if you read Matthew 28, he begins and he says to the Christians there, and really to all believers, he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And the word there, now listen, folks, the word is jurisdiction, authority, power. Now you read in places like Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be witnesses. Now that's ability power. So here's the thing. God gives to every Christian, every single Christian listening, God appoints to you this power, authority power and ability power. And the word authority means jurisdiction. And the word ability is a Greek word. I know everybody's heard sermon illustrations about dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. But let me say this, folks. You have the ability to live victoriously in Jesus. And you have the authority to mortify the flesh, turn away from sinful desires. Now, it's going to take prayer and it's going to take investment. But even, Jim, I think about things like, I've counseled people that hold a grudge for years and they're maybe unable to get past some painful thing that happened many years ago, or self-doubt or words of self-condemnation. And Paul is saying to the church here and to every believer, look, you're victorious in Christ. Mm. You're alive by the Spirit. You're going to get that resurrection body one day. Sin and all the mess that accumulates in our heart and soul sometimes, that has no claim on you anymore.
Amen. And you know, you'd mentioned the difference between being slaves in chapter 7 and becoming children in chapter 8. When we look at that transition there in verse 15, it says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. God's Spirit, when he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba Father. And Alex, that's one of those things there that I think we as Christians sometimes take for granted, that God is our Heavenly Father, and we know that he wants really good and great things for us. But sometimes it's just like we think we can coast on our parents' coattails, and that's not the case. We're to be individual believers, aren't we?
Well, we really are. And as I'm sure many people have heard preached, the words Abba Father, that's an Aramaic, very special word for daddy. Intimate word of endearment, just like you would say to your own parent, you know, daddy, help me. And the Heavenly Father is not just this abstract, you know, being in the sky, this cold, distant, disconnected God. He really is our daddy, our father, and we're his children, sons and daughters of God, born. You know, I love the word born again, or the term rather, mm-hmm. because how did you get into your family? Well, you were born into it. How do you get into God's family? Well, you're born into it, and therefore we are his children. And 17 is, since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So, you remember that song, Family of God, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel along. I'm part of the family of God. Travel this sod. You know, Jim, I think about being heirs of his glory and heirs of heaven. That's just... It's thrill enough to know that my sins are gone and I would go to heaven when I die. But to be heirs of heaven, I honestly think we don't even know the full extent of what that means.
I agree with you there. I don't think we really have a clue, because even though we've heard the scripture, we've heard the songs sung about, you know, the streets of gold and the gates of jasper and these different things. I think that's our finite mind trying to bring something that God has created, especially for us. We're trying to hold it in our finite minds, and I don't think we can fully conceive that. If you don't think that's the case, look up in the sky tonight and see what He has created. And when He looked back upon that creation, He said, "It is good." Folks, we have a God of insurmountable power, of insurmountable authority, and He's building a future home for us to come and enjoy with His Son, and for us to come and enjoy as sons and daughters, just like Alex just said, as heirs with Christ. Now, there will be some suffering in this present time. We get that. Jesus told us that in this world we'll have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, He overcame the world. And so, Alex, I think it is one of those things. And, you know, this is one of the really exciting parts of Scripture where it gives us just another peek of what God has planned for us as His children.
Well, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul talks about our temporary light affliction that works within us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Look, I know suffering is not easy. None of us like to go through hard times and things like that. And there's, you know, countless ways that in the human condition we suffer. And maybe sometimes you get tempted to just, you know, throw up your hands and say, you know, forget it. You know, I'm done. But listen to this, friend. I promise you, on the authority of God's word and on the testimony of faithful folk who have preceded us for centuries, the minute you see Jesus and you see the Savior and you're in His kingdom, just the moment you leave this world, Jim, I believe any suffering we do for Christ and any of the cross we bear on this journey, we will know it is so worth it. I mean, when you hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord," and when you see heaven, the trinkets of this world are going to vanish and be forgotten. And for one thing, any suffering we do is nothing comparable to the suffering Christ did on the cross.
Amen.
But He will reward us. And that's one of the things, let me say, about apologetics, defending the faith. Only Christianity really has a fulfilling answer to the problem of suffering and pain. And we don't deny there is pain and there is suffering, and it's a fallen world, it's a broken world. Very often it's a world of pain and tears. But Jesus has paid for our salvation. As we lean on Christ, we grow, we mature, we're purified and cleansed. We're going to get rewarded in heaven. This world is just dress rehearsal for eternity. And Jim, I would say one very persuasive thing about the gospel is only Christianity really has a satisfying, meaningful response to the problem of suffering.
It does. And, you know, I think sometimes, Alex, when there are sufferings that we do that aren't necessarily for Christ. And I say that because, you know, sometimes our suffering is punishment. Because as we're told in Hebrews, that He chastens those whom He loves. And then there are other times that I think our suffering comes from our own ignorance, in that we do something that we know we ought not do. We pick up something that's too heavy for us or whatnot. And so I think what I'm trying to say is that not all the sufferings are necessarily because of our belief in Christ, and not all of our sufferings are inflicted on us by Satan. Sometimes we have to accept our own responsibility there. But regardless of whatever those sufferings are, man, when we pass from this life to the next and we stand with our Savior and we have the opportunity to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it's just not going to matter anymore. I think that's one of the best promises that you said is that, and it really is, we don't have to worry about coming back again as a butterfly or a cow or a moth or anything. We don't have to worry about having to come back until we get it right. Why? Because Jesus made the way for us.
Amen. Amen. You know what's interesting? Sometimes you mentioned lifting something too heavy or something. So let's say you pick up something and you're working and you groan and it's painful. But then let's say that you groan in terms of satisfaction. You look at that well-mowed yard and you kind of sigh, good job. Or maybe you get some cold water on a hot day and you drink a gulp of water and you, that was refreshing, right? Okay. There's groanings. There's a groaning due to the pain of the fall, but then there's the groaning of satisfaction mm-hmm. in the restoration, really. In verse 22, Paul says, we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us. So a couple of things I want to say. Listen, Christianity is not the subtraction of all your problems. In fact, sometimes life really begins to get complicated when you seriously start serving Christ and you take your Christianity seriously. But Christianity is the addition of God's presence and provision through life's problems. And one beautiful thing is, in verse 26, it says, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words, or King James says, cannot be uttered. So you know what? There might be the groan and the pain of this fallen world, but there is the groaning of God's restoration, which is going to really ultimately resound in a triumphant cry of victory. Amen. And the Father knows the hearts of what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit pleads for us believers. Verse 27, the Spirit is interceding for us according to God's will. And, you know, God knows His people, verse 29, so that His Son, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, say, Jesus rose first. We, the believers, we're going to rise too. And ultimately, we're going to have our place around the throne of God.
Amen. I'm going to jump in real quick. Do me a favor, and let's not get into verse 31 today, because we're about to come up on the break.
Okay.
And man, there's just some really good stuff there. And I may have to kidnap Bert for an hour on Monday, but I really want to come back on Monday. Oh, sorry, Tuesday, so I'm in on Monday anyway.
All right.
My producer is telling me stuff, and I, like most times when somebody's trying to tell me something, I don't understand. But so there's a possibility I'll be in with you on Monday anyway.
But we're going to parse out the rest of this, and it's going to be great.
It sure is. And then... But now tomorrow, as we mentioned, is going to be Fire Away Friday. And so I want folks to be sure, and if you got a couple of emails that you'd like to send in where we may not have gotten to your question, that's a great time to do that. We'll start off with one of those while the phone bank fills up. And Alex, you know what? I forgot, Alex, you've actually got one for that.
I do for tomorrow, for Fire Away Friday. And by the way, folks, you can send questions in to word@afr.net. And your question might become the content for a future show. So we always love to hear from you.
Amen. You know, Alex, the verse there in verse 30, and as I mentioned, there comes the break. So we'll hold on to that verse too, and then we'll ease into the rest of chapter 8 there on Monday. Tomorrow, Fireway Friday. Your calls right now at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 as Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
What would it take for you to compromise your principles? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Recently, I heard a statement that went like this. I don't think principles matter if you can't get elected. Principles form the core of who you are. Principles form the foundation of a civil society. George Washington, in his farewell address, identified religion and morality as indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, George Washington said. It makes me think of a scripture. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? What would it profit a candidate to gain an election but lose his principles?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Okay, Candace, for the win, where can you buy the Love Sings, The Artistry of Marriage DVD set? Is it A, Bed Bath & Babies, B, the gas station, C, AFAstore.net, or D, your grandmother?
Well, it's not a food nor a bath product, and my grandmother can't sing, so I'm going to go with C, AFAstore.net.
That is correct. You win.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Visit AFAstore.net.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
The last painting of master Renaissance artist Raphael, who died in 1520, was likely Transfiguration. More than 15 by 9 feet, this painting was described by historian Giorgio Vasari as the most famous, the most beautiful, and most divine.
Inspired by the events described in Luke chapter 9, the top portion portrays Jesus appearing in glory between Moses and Elijah, while three disciples, Peter, John, and James, shield their eyes from the radiance.
In contrast, the bottom of the painting depicts the scene described in the very next portion of Luke 9, the apostles attempting unsuccessfully to cast out an evil spirit from a boy.
The detail virtually compels viewers to open their Bible to read for themselves the source of Raphael's inspiration.
Engage with the Bible and its impact on history, culture, and art.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Pressing on. He is my strength when the journey goes along.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. And I have to tell you, sometimes it's really a good thing that our microphones are off during the break. My producer and I were just speaking about our friend Todd Friel, and his little spot there that he did for Wretched Radio. And Alex, did you happen to hear that?
I did.
Did you notice that he said it was the single best Christian radio show on AFR at that time period?
I know. I had to smile. I was listening to that. So what were you and Devin saying about that? But yes, it made me smile to hear him say that.
That's it. Just my friend Todd Friel. He's humble, you know, humble servant of the Lord. He's very conservative, hardly has any opinions about anything, you know, and things like that. You know Todd.
Yeah, just a very a withdrawn, retiring, shy person, you know.
That's right. Folks, not exactly. Todd really is a great guy, though, and I love him. I'm glad to call him a friend, but he's definitely not shy, and I think that's one of the reasons he fits in so well here on AFR. Well, Alex, did you have any other comments before we go to the phones?
No, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear your Bible questions and exploring the Word. We're just so glad. I just want to say with all my heart, everybody who listens, a lot of times people say that they listen every day or they plan, you know, driving in the car to hear the show. I just want to say, folks, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you would tune in and listen, it really means a lot.
It does, and I sent out some statistics earlier today from some analytical some of the analytical reports that we get in, and so the podcasts are available at AFR.net. You may need to download the app if you're in a locale where the radio station doesn't get you there, or you may be traveling and you may be out of range of one of our terrestrial towers, so the AFR app will certainly help with that. And what we've tried to do is make it really easy for you to be able to hear AFR and, of course, Exploring the Word. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Danny. Danny is calling in from Arkansas. Danny, good afternoon, and welcome to AFR.
Thank you, sir. I have a question for you about mankind. Do you think or believe that there has ever been a human being that was created since Adam that did not have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior?
Danny, that's a great question, and most people would probably answer Judas to that, but even Judas had a choice, didn't he, Alex?
Yeah, he really did. He really did. The question, you know, does everybody have a chance to be saved? I believe they do. They do. That the Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. By the way, at first, in the first few seconds of the caller's question, I was, you know, wondering if he was going to ask, do I think there are any other races other than Adam and the human race? And I don't. The Bible says Adam was the first man. So I think Adam and Eve and the lineage of humans that have come after them, that's the human race that God created. And everybody has an opportunity. And I think people are going to be judged on the response they gave to the amount of knowledge they had. So not everybody is saved, but everybody could have been saved.
All right, Danny, great question. Thanks for the call this afternoon. We appreciate it. And now we're going to travel to Texas by phone lines and welcome Laura to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to ask this, but I'm studying right now in my, you know, read your Bible in 1 year, right? And I had just, within the last month, I've finished Jeremiah, and I'm reading Ezekiel. And it balances with Hebrews. So I know you're talking today about the grace extended and the power of the grace and what it covers. And, you know, reading Jeremiah and Ezekiel was really hard for me. You know, and it's, I realize that's my human nature kind of at odds with God's justice and his judgment, right? So I'm aware of that, but then I'm having a hard time balancing that with the grace. I realized there was also a timeline with the, you know, this was to the Israelites at the time. I think they were both before Jesus, right? And so, but we today as Christians, it's always like, I don't like it when people say, well, just focus on the New Testament, you know, because I don't think that shows us the full attributes and the full character of God. Not that we know everything about him, but then when I look back at these other ones, it's so hard for me. There's a lot of, you know, blood and anger and things that me, you know, as a contemporary Christian, I'm like, oh, that seems so evil. But I mean, that was God's wrath and judgment that he was declaring, you know.
Yep.
So, and he did still offer grace. But like I said, I guess I struggle on how to balance that today with what am I listening to. I mean, grace, I realize,
okay,
is
Laura,
the number one message, right?
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to let Alex give you a more comprehensive answer there and appreciate your question, because sometimes folks get caught up in grace that they don't expect anything, you know, to happen. It goes back to like what we said earlier. Would a loving God send someone to hell? No, we send ourselves. Why? Because he provided grace. Alex?
And by the way, I want to commend you for, you know, reading Old and New Testaments. And you're right. I mean, some people nowadays say, well, just focus on the New Testament. But the Old Testament is valuable to all believers, and we should read the Old Testament. And, you know, in the Old Testament, sometimes it seems like God and his messengers are pretty harsh. Jeremiah was, you know, he condemned the wickedness of the southern kingdom of Judah. And let's talk about why some of the really, really hard preaching. For one thing, the kingdom of Israel was divided into the northern and the southern kingdom, and this was never God's intent. And in fact, the civil war, if you will, and the division of the kingdom was ultimately one of Satan's attempts to, I would say, derail the plan of salvation. So in the Old Testament, beginning at Genesis 12, God called out Abraham and was raising up the nation of Israel through whom to send the Savior. And whenever we think, you know, the Old Testament circumstances are pretty brutal, and, you know, the prophets, you know, Jeremiah preached for 40 years about the wickedness. You're going to backslide all the way into God's judgment because you're wicked. And we might think, wow, that's kind of harsh. That's pretty hard shell. But here's the thing. Israel was forever backsliding, dividing, fighting each other. They would have leaders that would fall into sin. And God was harsh with them many times because his objective was to keep them together so that one day, in fulfillment of prophecy, the Savior would be born. And the Messiah coming into the world, that's a pretty high-stakes, vitally important initiative. And Jim, I think whenever we read, you know, and Ezekiel is hard too. I mean, there's a lot of prophecy in there and measuring this heavenly temple, and it's complicated. But in terms of the harshness of the messages of many of these prophets, Israel was in danger of irrevocably falling off the map into sin, and God was insistent that they turn back to him and fulfill their mission of bringing the Messiah into the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a great question and great answer, Alex. I appreciate you going into depth on that. Let's talk to Eddie now, calling from Virginia. Eddie, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word. Eddie?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Good.
Glad to have you.
I had a question. This is kind of a tough one. But all the millions of children whose lives were lost by abortion, they were never given the chance to accept Jesus as a Savior. Will they automatically go to heaven?
I believe they do, yes.
Yes, I agree. It's one of those things there, and Alex, I'll let you expound on this, please. But it's one of those things that the baby in the womb and even young children, you know, they have not come to the age of accountability. And I think there's a covering for that. Now, I'm not trying to create scripture. I understand what the Bible says. But I want you to know that those babies, since they were conceived and had never been born, never had the opportunity, and this goes back to something the caller said earlier, you know, the aborted babies never had that opportunity. But Alex, I think that the grace and love of God makes way for them because they are unique and they are valuable in the eyes of the Lord, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. And, you know, there are things that the Bible says explicitly, and then there are things that are inferences. They're inferred. And, you know, I think about when David impregnated Bathsheba, mm-hmm. and the baby she was carrying died in 2 Samuel 12. And David mourned for the baby that was stillborn. And David said, "He cannot come to me, but I will go to him."
Right.
Indicating that, you know, he knew that baby was in heaven and one day he would see that child. And, you know, I agree with Jim about the age of accountability, that there is a time when we know right from wrong. And, you know, obviously a miscarriage or a baby that's aborted, mm-hmm. or a child that dies, or a person that's mentally handicapped and can't understand to receive Jesus, their soul goes to heaven. And that's why there are going to be tens of millions in heaven that were physically, you know, conceived or maybe even born into this world but didn't fully live out a life of, you know, growing up and choosing Christ, but they're going to be in heaven. They're going to get a glorified body. And let me just say this without getting too, you know, into the areas we don't know everything about, but we've had people call in that had abortions and, you know, later received not only the forgiveness of Jesus, but really the restoration and the healing that God gives. There's going to be a reunion day.
Yeah.
And so, folks, I believe with all my heart that all those children are in heaven now with Christ, and we will see them one day.
Amen. And Alex, I want to camp out right there for just a minute if we can. I want you, in just a moment, to walk us through what it means to be forgiven, what it means to be justified. And I do this because inevitably when we answer these kinds of questions, we have folks that have walked through abortion, both the female and the guys, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And even sometimes the family that may have encouraged the young person to get an abortion. And so that is a very real and palatable guilt that they carry with them. But just like my sin, just like your sin, there is hope and forgiveness and grace at the foot of the cross, isn't there?
Well, there really is. You know, the Bible talks about one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God, our healer. And yes, Jesus is our Savior. God is also the one who heals us and restores our soul. Mm. And we've had a lot of calls. We had a call one time, and then I want to explain how to be forgiven. But a lady that, you know, many decades ago, her family had pressured her into having an abortion, and she didn't want to, but she was, you know, compliant and did, and decades of pain she had carried within her. But the fact is, look, we're all sinners. We are. And I know humanly we sort of classify good sin and worse sin and, you know, bad and real bad, but sin is sin. And so right now, I want to say to everybody listening, make sure that you're saved. And I want to tell you how you can make sure. And this is on the authority of God's word. For one, we admit that we're a sinner. And we say, Lord, I admit I've sinned and I'm sorry for my sins. And then believe this about Jesus. For one, believe that he is the Son of God, as he said. Do you believe that? You believe he's not just a good man, but he's God incarnate. And of course, you believe that. And that's what Christ claimed. And then the beautiful thing, he died on the cross and he paid for our sins. And the punishment for sin that I deserved, Alex McFarland deserved God's punishment. And we all did, but it was put on Jesus and your punishment too. And so then would you call on his name? And the Bible says in verses like Romans 10:13 that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friend, wherever you are, just silently but sincerely, from your heart to God, would you call on the name of the Lord right now? Now, from your heart to God, pray something like this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to be forgiven. Lord, I want to be right with you. So Jesus, please forgive me. Please wash my sins away. I do believe in who you are, and you went to that cross for me. Lord, I put my faith in you. Please save me now. Now, Jim, let me share one more verse I want to throw to you because we've got a phone number. But listen to this, folks. This is a great promise. Latch on to it. In the New Testament, 1 John 5:13, it says that these things, this New Testament, was written to you who believe that you may know you have eternal life.
Amen.
So in November 7, 2019, did you believe on him? You did? Well, according to the Word of God, you may confidently know where you stand with God. And we want to encourage you, find a good church, grow, invest in your Christian walk. But maybe for many listening, Jim, the day of their Christian birth was this afternoon right here.
Amen. And folks, if you'd like to talk to someone about more information on knowing Christ, let me encourage you to call 1-800-NEED-HIM. That's 1-800-NEED-HIM. If you'd prefer to look them up online, it's simply needhim.org. And there'll be someone there to chat with you as well. Alex, what a great way to end the week and going into Fire Away Friday tomorrow. But, you know, anytime we have ministry, it makes it a good day.
And there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Have a great afternoon, folks. Stick around. Washington Watch comes your way right after the news here on American Family Radio.